Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
How many remember what I started a couple weeks ago? It's about 4 weeks ago now that I started it. Oh, you got to look at notes. Anybody remember what I started? This is the problem. We get so much information. The blood. Who said that? Nice job. The blood. The young brains in the house. Started talking about the blood. What's this about the blood? And we talked about, I started my whole kind of the series with words that we use that can often be misunderstood or just sometimes just plain out weird. But still, there is power behind it that if we don't go back to what it, the real purpose is, then we're missing something significant. So, you know, we talked about things like traveling mercies, you know. Claude at the end of the service told me, aren't you going to bless everybody with traveling mercies? I'm like, I still don't even know what it means hardly, let alone. It's just these terms that we use, right? And then we did say things like covered in the blood, which, by the way, is actually wrong. And we'll get to that later. But we would, are you covered in the blood? Well, if you're somebody coming into church and somebody asks you, are you covered in the blood, without any understanding of the Bible, that would freak you out, wouldn't it? It would freak me out. I am not covered in anybody's blood, thank you very much. But you should be. But actually, it's even more than covered. But these are sayings that we need to understand. And so I want to do a series on, I'm going to read blood. Before we put up the first slide, so don't put it up yet, I'm going to read it and I want you to answer or finish it off for me. It says, by now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him. Anybody want to finish it? By the blood. It's interesting. I was thinking that today. My first inclination, and you can go ahead and put that slide up. It's interesting. My first inclination would be to think it would say through the cross. Anybody else think that would make sense, that we are brought near to Christ because of the cross? Because Jesus died on the cross for us, that we, if we receive the sacrifice that he made, we would be brought near to him. But it's interesting, it doesn't say the cross. It says the blood of Christ. I think that's pretty significant when it's like right there. And by now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God. Did anybody grow up far away from God? Even if you grew up in a Christian home, you can be far away from God. And it doesn't mean even that you are not, you know, people go, well, that was Dorman. Dorman was far away from God because of the life that he was living. He was addicted to cocaine and all these different things. You can be just as far away from God and live a pretty normal, good life and have no connection with God. Right? Like I can tell you, I know some people that are more Christian than Christians, but they're not Christian. Like they are more Christ-like than a lot of Christians that I know. But if you look at the Word of God and what gets us close to God, it is not just because they have good behaviors, it's the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ. So even though they have good behaviors, you can still be far from God. And that man, if there's anything that messes with people's brains, it's the fact that somebody could live really good all their life and not know God, therefore go to hell, and somebody could live bad all their life and accept Jesus and go to heaven. But with that mentality, you have to go back to, then it's your behavior that gets you there. It's not your behavior. Never was your behavior, right? It is brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So how many think the blood is important? Awesome. Go to that next slide for me. We looked at this slide 4 weeks ago. This is the pivotal scripture about the blood in the Bible that begins to get us an understanding of why God would use the blood. He said, for the life of the body is in its blood. There is nothing more important when it comes to life than the blood. Right? You can live 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 minutes without oxygen. You cannot live without blood. You know, you can't hold your blood like you hold your breath. Like if it's gone, you're dead, right? Everybody good? He says, I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you. Well, that's a good step right there. On the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. So now we know that the blood purifies us and makes us right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life. Okay, this is key. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. I want to draw your attention to those two lines or two words. It is the blood given in exchange. It's the blood given in exchange. Okay, so quick review. If you weren't here 4 weeks ago, we talked about Adam and Eve in the garden, right? Yes, we did. Okay. Adam and Eve are in a garden. They're walking with God. They're close with God. There is no sin. They have no awareness of sin. They are absolutely, it says they are naked and unashamed. And that's just both physically, that's also spiritually, that's emotionally. Like, there is nothing. They are happier than they can be. Like, it's just amazing. Close to God. Sometimes I think no shame, you know, no embarrassment, no consciousness of sin, of mistake. There's none of that. There's no looking down on each other. There's no shaming each other. There's none of that. And then we know the devil comes along and tricks them into, tricks and deceives them into taking the very thing, the one thing that they're not supposed to. And in that one moment, that's when they become far from God, because he removes them from his presence. This is literally the rest of the Bible. How do we get back close to God? Did you know that? The Bible's about a relationship. It's really a love story. It's the Father going, man, because of what you did, you're far away, but I have to find a solution to get you close back, because I can't live without my kids. Tony, wonderful word today. God loves us. He loves us. He is rooting more for us than you root for you. Did you know that? Like, he is more excited for you than you are for you. Because he can see what we can be or what we will become when we can't. And so now we have this epic problem. Man sins, and the presence of God can no longer be there. So we are removed from the presence of God. And the rest of the story of the Bible is about him going, how do I remedy that? He knows how he's going to do it. But it's really this progression of going, how do I get my kids back into my presence? And we've tried a lot of different ways, but we just read one way. We are brought near by the blood. Okay, first thing that we learned about was that they were naked and they became ashamed because of their fall. So the first thing that he did was he sacrificed animals. What does it say? He wants to purify us and make us right. So in their minds now, they are not right. They are not purified. So it is the blood that's given in exchange. What's the exchange? He kills animals. The exchange, the blood is exchanged for them to now have clothing, and it covers their shame. Something you have to really understand. The Old Testament is all about covering our shame. And so they get clothing through the sacrifice of a blood. Following me? Okay, the second one we looked at was Abraham. God comes to Abraham. God hadn't come to anybody yet. God comes to Abraham, and he makes a what with him? Say loud. He makes a covenant. But if you remember this covenant, I know it's a lot of remembering. If you remember the covenant that Abraham makes, he's going to bring Abraham into the covenant, but Abraham falls asleep. So they had cut three animals apart. And I know it's weird for us in the society that we live in, but it was not for them. He cuts the animals apart. The way a covenant works is you walk through the blood. Both parties walk through the blood. And that signifies if either one of us break this covenant, whatever happened to these animals will happen to us. That's a covenant. Good thing we don't do marriage like that, eh? Although, it's actually what you do in a marriage covenant, but without the blood. But it's still supposed to be the same level of we're making a covenant together. But this is what God wants to do. God is making a promise and a covenant with Abraham that he would become the father of the nations. He doesn't even have his own child yet. But he's like, I'm going to make you a promise. So I think Abraham would have been nervous to go, I'm making a covenant. I have to, what about my end? And he falls asleep and God does the whole covenant himself. So basically says, Abraham, it's not on you. It's 100% on me. That's a good covenant. I think sometimes we go into marriages that way, don't we? I'm marrying you, but it's 100% on you. So you cook, you clean. Nobody would ever say that. And nobody should ever do that. So we have now a covenant. So we have, he covers us and he makes a covenant for us. And it's all through the blood. Okay, turn to your Bibles. That's a quick recap. Turn to your Bibles with me to Genesis. We're going to turn to, I lost the scripture, Genesis 22. Turn open your Bible app if you have it, or Bible, Genesis 22. I'll try to fly through these stories for the sake of time. I just want to cover three quick things. Genesis 22 is awesome because Abraham, we're going to fast forward. Abraham, God comes through. First of all, Abraham tries his own way. That does not work out. He tries his own way to have a child. He ends up having a child with his maidservant, and it's not good. So now he has his own child through Sarah. What were they, like 99 years old? Or it's just ridiculous. That's God doing his covenant, right? The impossible. That's God. So now we have Abraham has Isaac, his beloved son. And you know what's amazing about the Bible? You realize this is written over thousands of years. But if you watch the poetry and the significance of each moment throughout the Bible, it is incredible. He's going to write something that's going to repeat thousands of years later. And he wrote it in to go, this is a foreshadow of what it's going to look like. It's amazing. Genesis 22. So he has Isaac. Starting at verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, I don't always like being tested. Anybody else? Now, he's testing him because he's going to become the founder of a nation. That's a pretty big test, isn't it? You get tested for small positions in work. This is being tested to see, Abraham, are you mine? It's hard for us to understand, but that's what's happening here. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Did you read that? Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, in whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Does that sound familiar anywhere else? Jesus. Is that like Sunday school? Jesus. The Jesus, my beloved son, in whom I love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. What? Did you know that like you don't sacrifice children? And he says, go and take him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. But just listen. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Interesting, what day is it? Third day. And Abraham said to his young men, here's a key, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. You know, in Hebrews it says, it was attributed to Abraham's faith. I don't know what Abraham's thinking at this point, but all he's saying is, listen, we're coming back. I don't know how. It actually says in Hebrews, even if God had to raise him from the dead, that's the faith that Abraham had. Nobody had been raised from the dead yet. That's why Abraham had incredible faith. But he's saying, listen, I know I have to go sacrifice him, but we will be back. That's just incredible. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. Now, by the way, Isaac is not a little boy at this point. I think he's like 18. I love what's next. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and his father and said, father. He said, here I am, my son. It's like, there's something wrong in this picture here. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I think he's starting to clue in. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to a place of God, which the place of which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. By the way, I think this is actually a test for both of them. Because if you're 18 years old, right? So Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, and Isaac was willingly letting him. Founders of our faith. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel, what was going through Abraham's mind? Like, he's like, I don't know how this is going to work out. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on your lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram, a male lamb, caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. This is the first time we see a lamb as an offering, a substitution. It was supposed to be Isaac. That was that's all he knew. And all of a sudden, by the shedding of blood, what did it say here? In the blood given, it's an exchange for life. It's one life for the exchange of the other. That's incredible. That's why I said the whole Bible is this beginning to the end of going, I need to get my kids near and back to me. So he sacrifices the lamb, the burnt offering. It's a substitution. You following me? I know, but if we don't understand this stuff, then we could just say the blood and not really have any idea. But it was the blood that actually set Isaac free. Anybody else been set free in here? You wouldn't have been without the lamb. You wouldn't have been without the blood. Like, sometimes we don't put the two pieces together. We're like, oh, I'm so thankful for the cross and Jesus. No, you actually have to be thankful for the blood of Jesus. Because without blood, there's no exchange. Without exchange, there's no life. Without life, we're all dead to sin. Okay? So it's interesting, we have in the first scenario with Abraham, we have he's asleep and this blood thing happens. In the second one, we have this lamb that's going to have, it's going to be slayed, the shedding of blood. Now I want to look at another one because this story just keeps going. So turn with me to Exodus, and this is one of the key ones. I've mentioned this a few times over the weeks. I'm going to probably just more paraphrase based on time. Exodus 12 is the Passover. This is when Moses has been confronting Pharaoh, and this is the final thing where he's basically told, listen, this is what's going to happen. The oldest son in every family is going to die. But if you do this, your sons will not die. If you take a lamb without spot or blemish, it has to be a perfect lamb, nothing wrong with it. If you kill it and put the blood around the doorpost, anybody inside that house will be safe. Anybody outside will not be safe. Again, this incredible understanding that the blood brings life. Without the blood, there's death. You following me? If you could put that one picture up there for me. It's the final picture, I believe, in order. This is the one I've been mentioning. I saw this around Easter time. It says, the Lord did not check who inside the house was worthy. He checked for the blood on the doorpost. It says, none of us is worthy. Only the blood of Jesus can cover us. That's actually wrong. Did you know that? Anybody know why? Doesn't cover our sins. We'll get into that, but I love it because there's everything is true about that, but the one word that's wrong is the word cover, and we'll get into that in a minute. But the point is still standing here. The blood. He didn't go by, and he didn't inspect everybody in that house and go, okay, so let's, like, I'm the spirit of death, but before I decide if you're going to be killed or not, let's look at your resume, right? How much have you done in your lifetime? How much, you did what? You said what to your mom and dad? You did what when they went to bed? You snuck out the window? Like you had horse rage? We have road rage. They didn't have cars, horse rage. I know, that was bad. Dad jokes were 2 weeks ago, sorry. He didn't do any of that. He didn't look to go, are you worthy enough to not die? He looked at the blood on the doorpost and went, the blood makes all of you in this house worthy enough to not die. See, the incredible thing is that this is all before the law is about to take place. In a few short chapters, the law is going to come in, and all of a sudden, we are going to be a part of the equation in right and wrong. But in this moment of time, it is not about what they did in the house. It was about the blood that brought life. And the minute we don't understand that, we go right back to performance and perfection. Now, if you don't know the end of the story, let me help you out because that'll be another week. But the end of the story is that we are under the same type of covenant as this now. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're going to go through a lot of years where they're under a different covenant, where they are a part of the covenant. But if you can remember one thing from today, that is the truth of your life. It is the blood of Jesus. And only the blood of Jesus, and by faith receiving what he did, that makes you pure, holy, and clean. The minute you get outside of that thought process, you're in trouble. You following me? Okay, so Abraham, he's asleep. God walks through the blood. Isaac, he is going to be the sacrifice, but it's the sacrifice with the blood, and it's the substitution. Now we have this picture of the blood is now on a doorpost. Okay, one more scripture, and we're going to close. Turn with me, because now we're about to go into, do I want to read anything with that story? Let me just see. Go to Exodus 12, 13, just so you can see this. Exodus 12, 13 says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. I will pass over. One of the things I want to be praying right now for Erica, you know, when you hear somebody say, I pray the blood of Jesus over you, that's where that concept comes from. Because a plague could not enter because of the blood of Jesus. Well, I don't know about you. I feel like cancer's a plague. So I'm like, Lord, that should not be. So we're just going to keep praying what the blood did on the cross over Erica. Okay? All right, turn with me. We're going to wrap it up. You're ready. Exodus 24. Again, long story short, Moses goes up. Moses gets the commandment, receives the law. He comes down with the commandments. There's a long story, but this is the short version of it. He comes down with the commandments, reads everything to the people, and the people have to make a decision. I want you to remember, every time a covenant is made, blood has to be shed. Okay? Covenants in the Bible are one of the most important things you can have. God did everything out of promises and covenants with the people. So all of a sudden, we are stepping into a brand new covenant because they were in with the Abrahamic covenant where it was all on God. Now God's going to introduce a covenant and go, well, no, we're going to be together on this. And it's going to all of a sudden for the next hundreds of years show that you are sinners and can't get out of sin. But basically, they listen, they hear the commandments, and Moses will go, do you agree? And we're going to pick it up in verse. Let's do verse 24, chapter 24, verse 3. It says, so Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord God had said, he will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, reading in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. So just to stop before I get to that last verse. You have to understand, the blood was the only thing would purify everything. So again, it is weird for us, but you need to understand, they would take the burnt offering and the blood, and everywhere they went before they go, they'd have to sprinkle blood because the blood would purify. Aaron, the high priest, blood on himself. He had to be purified. If he goes to touch the book, blood on the book. It's hard for us to understand, but the whole Bible is trying to get you to understand that the blood is the only thing that can purify. Like, I'm amazed now that I'm 50 years old and I look back and I go, how did I not get this? That I was trying to do everything in my works. When you realize throughout the Bible, he's showing you purity only comes from the blood. So he goes through on the priest, on the altar, on the covenant, all these things. And then the last thing, since then he took the book of the covenant, read it in the hearing of the people. They said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And he says, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you according to all these words. I had never seen that before. If I did, I totally passed over it. Abraham was asleep. He didn't have to walk through. In this covenant, for the first time, the blood comes right near to the people. And they now are covered in the blood, and they have to walk with God. Now, here's the cool thing. Every time we go through one of these stories, people are getting closer to God. People are getting closer to God. Now, in this, and for the next, because we're going to pick it up in the New Testament next time I preach, they are as close as they can get because the only thing that's left is the inner court and the Holy of Holies, but they are now this much closer. But there's priests that go before them, but they are closer than they've ever been before. And the cool thing is, fast forward, I'm spoiling the end, and you guys know all this. It says, now we can enter the Holy of Holies because of the blood of the Jesus, because of the Lamb. But you can see throughout history, after the fall, they were so far from God, they can't even see God. And every covenant, every bloodshed is getting them closer to be in the presence of God. All the while trying to teach them to go, listen, it is not by your works. I'm gonna show you for hundreds of years. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's only the blood of Jesus that makes you worthy. And the beautiful thing is that he needed to have a people, he needed to give them a way out. So what does he do? The Day of Atonement, right? Anybody know what the Day of Atonement is? Okay, I'll tell you. Day of Atonement is when once a year they would bring a lamb, two lambs. One would be a scapegoat that they would lay their hands, and one would be a burnt offering, and both would symbolize the covering of sin for the entire population for 1 year at a time. So even though he's like, you guys aren't going to be able to do this, I have to have a way for you guys to survive. Every year we're going to do this. I take all the sins of the nation, we put it on the lambs and we sacrifice the lamb and we send one off and now you're totally purified. That's why they had a big celebration that day. If you look at it, it was a massive festival. Why? Because once a year their sins were forgiven. What do we have every day? We were singing it today. That's why I hope our hearts get closer to God every time we learn stuff like this, because why should we be singing so loudly? We don't have to wait till next year. Can you imagine if you sin something really serious? You're like, oh, the atonement was only 10 days ago. I have to wait 355 days. Conscious of your sin, conscious of your moral failings. Like you would be looking, don't let me die before that day. Don't let me die. I am so thankful that we don't live under that covenant. The covenant, that's why it says in the New Testament, a far better covenant. It's like, how do you even compare? It's like little kids. This covenant is like little kindergarten kids trying to do the 100-meter race compared to Olympic racers. Like, they're so far apart, it's incredible. This covenant is a better covenant by far. And we'll get into that next week or some week. The point I want you to get, though, is everything had to do with the blood. The cross was an avenue for the covenant of the blood, but when it comes down to it, it's the blood that sets us free. I'm grateful. Amen? Amen. I want to see if there's any other pictures and things I want to show you. Let me just show you one thing. Can you put the definition up? Kafar. Kafar. This is the word atonement in the Old Testament, kafar, because I want you to really get this. Kafar means to cover, to make an atonement, to make reconciliation, to cover up. You need to remember that when we get into the New Testament, because we don't have, it's not kafar anymore that we have. Kafuffle? Kafar? What is a kafuffle anyway? The greatest thing when we pick it up and probably 2 weeks, is that our sin is no longer covered. He doesn't cover it and then every once in a while peek under and go, oh, your sin's still there. Oh my gosh. Seriously, it was only ever covered. And what the people that know where I'm going with this, your sin is now obliterated. There is no covering. It literally, and I'll show you when I teach it, it's obliterated your sin. You're like, well, I still sin. I know. But when you sin and you repent and you say, Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sins and I want to walk in my new nature. He's like, I know, I obliterated that sin on the cross. My blood destroyed it. And really, actually what he's doing, what are you talking about? What sin? Well, you know all the things. No, actually I don't, because it's obliterated by the blood. Why don't you stand? Oh, gosh. I knew it. I it was in my brain to do it. Why don't you all sit? That's the second week in a row I've done that. Because I want to end with communion, but I forget about communion. So if you don't have communion, that was just the mid-service stretch. I don't have my phone, but right about this time, my kids start texting me. Dad, would you start closing? Don't close again. See, my son's looking at me, thumbs up. He literally, why are you up there teaching after somebody else just got up there teaching? It's like I'm looking at my phone while you're... I love my kids. Kids are honest. And sometimes brutally, yes. I got one, thank you. Church, I don't know if I'm getting it across, but can we put that image up one more time for me, the doorpost? Lord, help us to get this, because it's like we can listen to a message like this and then we all walk out and live in condemnation throughout the week. Even though Romans says there's therefore now no condemnation. The New Testament is full of the truth of how we are now and we're like, well, no, I'm not living that way. Have you ever read the Bible? Look through almost every letter that Paul writes. He'll go, dear children, dear saints, and then a list of all the things they're doing wrong. Right? Because that's what life looks like. You don't tell your kids, if you have them, I will not call you son. Well, unfortunately, some people do this. I refuse to call you son until your life is perfect. Can you imagine? That's why Paul's like, dear saints, we got some things we got to work on. But you're still saints, and you're still my dearly beloved children. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the body that was broken on the cross. And Lord, I pray that over and over and over again, you would make it go deeper within us. The understanding of what you truly did, that you did not have to do, that you chose to do. That you wanted us close to you again. So Lord, I thank you for the breaking of your body for us and only for us. Lord, we want to fully receive what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. When I say only for us, I don't want that to be mistaken like for us as a church. It's for people. All people, if they will receive, right? Because that's where people can misinterpret what's being said. Only those who go to a center saved? No. All people, for all time. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed. Lord, even as it said in Exodus, as a new covenant, and he sprinkled it upon the people. Lord, I thank you that you made a new covenant with us, Lord, in the New Testament. And this is a better covenant. So Lord, we thank you for the blood that purifies, that forgives, that cleanses, that makes us right with you, that's a substitute. Lord, we thank you for all that it did, all that it does, all that it will do. In Jesus' name, amen. And now you can stand, because I'm going to close. Or maybe I'll keep preaching, son. Because I got the mic. Happy Canada Day, tomorrow. We live in a beautiful nation. We live in a beautiful nation. A lot of nations in turmoil right now, and even though we have a little turmoil, it's certainly not what other nations face. So Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and your love. Pray, Lord, I bless everyone as they leave. Would you cover and fill them, Father God? Lord, I pray that they would have a greater revelation of who you are and what you've done. Lord, again, we just ask for healing for everyone that's sick. Susan Ferris's husband, Lord. Again, for Pascal's mind, that you continue to do a work in that from her car injury. Lord, for Erica, all those that are sick, would you continually go before them and heal? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.